getting to know you.
Whoa.
Getting to know all about
whoa.
You. Getting to like
whoa.
You. Getting to hope you like
whoa.
Me.
Welcome to Getting to Know Woo. I'm Natasha Levenger, a professional intuitive reader, energy healer, and inner child healing expert. After being raised with extreme narcissism, I found talk therapy was helpful, but it wasn't until I found energy and inner child healing that I was able to break free of family patterns that cut me off from knowing and loving my true self. I'm passionate about dispelling the rhetoric that these kinds of tools are impractical and ineffective, and in this podcast, I will be sharing how actually beneficial and transformative they are. My husband and producer, Brett, will be joining me in conversation, and we will be welcoming experts along the way. I'm excited to have you here. And what's up, Woozer?
What's up, Wooligans?
We are here a week later than usual. We've had a lot happening. Well, yeah, we've been like pretty good about every other week.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But we had taxes to do, as well as my class was taking up a lot of work.
But we're back.
Yeah, well, here we are. Here we are. That's not a real song. I was trying to think of if there was a real song. Oh, here we are. Face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Oh my God, that
classic Levenger family lullaby.
Yeah, that really, we used to sing that to our kids every single night. Anywho, yeah, we're just like also recovering from eclipse.
Yeah.
We're still in the midst of Merkretch, but
eclipse.
Holy moly. I mean, I could say a lot, but
yeah.
We have a guest, so I won't.
Makes it sound like you don't want to say it in front of her.
Well, no, obviously not. But she's heard it all because she's also my friend.
Right.
we will be having, well, you probably know if you already hit play, Lisa Quigley's here with us. Well, she will be over Zoom to talk about hypnotherapy. I had an amazing session with her. Yeah, so she'll be talking about that. But it's actually been a really good eclipse season in a lot of ways for me. I've had a lot of like clearing out, like noticing old patterns, and just by virtue of noticing them, having gratitude for where I am and all of that. But one thing I wanted, all of that nonsense, but what I wanted to talk about before we get to Lisa is communication. Because in these times, so, like I said, we're still in Mercury retrograde, so it can, this is what I want to say, is it can be hard to know when you are activated / triggered, when it's a good time to actually say something to a person, and when it's best not to. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. So this is my go-to check-in, so to speak.
Okay.
What I, like with myself, when I'm unsure. Okay, so I'm going to give an example. I just did a TikTok about this, so I'm just going to use the example I used there.
Okay.
So let's say that your friend cancels on you last minute and you're really upset.
Okay.
Do you say something to them or do you harbor it away forever? I'm just kidding.
Those are the two options.
And then, oh wait, you could also hold resentment and have it carefully eat away at you.
Yeah.
No. So this is what I believe you should do. So first, check in with yourself. Why are you feeling upset? If you're triggered by it, then it's an inner child part. So asking yourself, like, is it bringing up something like loneliness or rejection, or like, did it open this well of like all the times people have ever canceled on you and it makes you feel some type of way about yourself, or like, you know, that kind of thing. So checking in first with yourself to essentially clean your side of the street. So, you know, like you're not dumping on the other person.
Right.
What isn't theirs. Okay. And then let's say that you talk to this inner child part, or you, you know, you can journal it out. You can free write all of your feelings. Then take a breath. Make sure you're in your body, meaning like feel your legs, feel your feet. Like, are you really present? You could expand your aura out to make yourself feel bigger, to really like take up more space in your body energetically and otherwise, so that you're really here with more of the picture as opposed to just the inner child part. Mm-hmm. And then from that place, validate your inner child's experience. You know, let them know, like, yeah, that feels really bad when you're, you know, canceled out or whatever the feelings are. So then once you feel like, okay, or even if you don't feel all better, you at least know in this case, oh, you know what? This was completely my old stuff. Right, even though I'm not fully in my whole self yet, I know this isn't about the other person. Right. So I don't really need to say anything because it's not their deal. And I'll continue to work on validating my inner child and taking up more of my own space so that I don't feel so merged about it.
Right.
Merged with the inner child about it. But let's say you feel into it and you're like, no, they do this all the time. Like, they're constantly doing this. It really makes me feel disrespected. And it's just about the relationship.
Right.
And you are feeling upset about it. Then you know, okay, I need to check in and see, is this worth it? Are they a good enough friend that I need to talk to them about it? Or are you just like, you know what? They're not. I don't even care about this friendship enough. I just will know not to plan on them coming in, showing up and being reliable. But if they are a good enough friend, then, you know, taking that risk to be vulnerable and talk about it.
Yeah.
Then there's the third option, which is sometimes it's both. Like, sometimes they are being disrespectful and it's also bringing up old stuff around it.
Right, right.
So it's, yeah, but the important thing is, like, taking care of what is yours so you aren't dumping on them.
Yeah.
Another, like, little twist on this is the other day something happened with my bestie, and she had, I won't go into all the details, but basically something happened where you...
Yeah, probably me, if we're being honest.
Had done something, and I was, had, let's just say, like, misplaced something, yeah, and hopefully, and and I was really worried about her reaction, because I felt it was, like, pretty important to her, and I felt really bad about it.
Yeah.
And we were texting, and I noticed, like, I got so triggered about it, like, and it was, that was not about her, because actually she had, she was like, could not have been
she
more,
was great.
Yeah, my madness about it was so kind and understanding. But yeah. I have past life stuff, which you also looked at. You, we did a little training, had you look at that. That was fun.
That was very fun.
I was like guiding you into, like, looking at past lives, looking at, like, delving into it.
Yeah.
So we did some work de-energizing it. But the point is, when I was going to communicate with her, I mean, as I was communicating with her about it, I knew it wasn't her. And I almost said to her, like, I feel, well, I did say, I'm really sorry. We both feel really bad about this. But I almost said it, like, once, like, more than once. And I noticed that, like, I didn't want to, if I was going to do that, then I'm making it about me.
Right,
and that's
right,
what happens a lot without us realizing it, that we make things about ourselves when we don't work on ourselves, when we don't, like, take responsibility for our inner child whose feelings are upset. What were you going to say?
Well, I just have, in the past, like, when I first learned about this, like, as a people pleaser, a recovering people pleaser, but I don't ever think I'm making it about me,
mm-hmm,
because I'm making it about pleasing them.
Right.
Which feels like, but really it is absolutely, like, about me, like, and my feelings about fucking up and, like, ruining or whatever. And just that idea of being able to be self-centered while focused on the other person was a real revelation for me.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. Yeah, some of the most self-centered people are people pleasers.
Yeah.
It's really like, oh my God, oh my God. You know, I'm not trying to make fun of people pleasers. I am also a recovering people pleaser. But I mean that's how I felt that the other day. I was like, and I was noticing that, and I was like, I'm not going to communicate that, because then she's going to have to reassure me. This is not about me. This is about, you know, something potentially with her.
Yeah.
So it's just the more you can take responsibility for yourself in a relational situation, the more you will have clear, clean communication.
Yeah.
And if you can't, if you find yourself confused, if you find yourself, you know, not sure, then just take a break. It's very rare that anything is so urgent that it has to be talked about immediately. Just take a break. Like, give yourself some space and air to not think about it, even to release it, like to give it up to the light. Or another thing you can do that I learned from one of my first spiritual teachers. I mean, I didn't train with them in person or anything, but just their books, Oren and Sinead Roman, is I read this like when I was like 20 or something, and I've been doing it ever since, and it's so helpful. And I just say to myself, I intend to go higher. Like, if I'm in an argument and I don't know what's happening, or like I can tell I'm really triggered, or I can tell I'm defensive, or I can tell the other person is, and there's nothing able, you know, like there's no way, I just say it to myself quietly, like, you know, no one has to know you're even doing it. Just like, I intend to go higher. I intend to go higher. And I just imagine the energy going to the light. And it really does shift the energy, because when you're communicating and you're in a power struggle, it's a real third chakra cord situation, meaning like it's a real like your inner child and their inner child.
Right.
I heard someone say the other day, I can't remember where I heard this, but they said that their therapist once told them if an argument goes on longer than 5 minutes, then it's your inner children arguing.
Fascinating.
I know.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
I would like to amend that to say sometimes it's the one person's inner child for sure, you're trying to like either extricate yourself from the situation and it's difficult as parents we are familiar with this.
I think I've made that difficult for you a few times.
Well, I'm sure we both have, but yeah, so anyway, and when that is happening, it is your energies are just like when you're in any inner child part, it's concentrated. It's like you go into when you're merged with your inner child, you're not in your whole self. You're like it's like a myopic kind of energy, and you're you know, in this little like ball in your third chakra, like willing each other to move. And but when you intend to go higher, it can release the energy up, and it can help you to feel more in your whole self.
Yeah. Can I ask something? Maybe we'll cut this.
Okay.
At the beginning of this, you said that when you're checking in with yourself, check if you're triggered by it. And so it made me wonder, like, how do you tell the difference between triggered and like justifiable anger or like fear, sad, like whatever is reasonable versus what is triggering an inner child?
Right. And of course, it's all valid, even if it's want to say that. But I mean, it is something that the more you know yourself, the easier it is to tell. Like this is why, for instance, in my energy healing class, one of the reasons why I really wanted to teach it is because the more familiar you are with what it feels like to be in your whole aura, or you know, taking up more of your space versus as I teach in this class, the center of the head versus the front of the head, when you're trying to make things into making meaning out of things. But outside of energy, just like knowing, am I occupying my whole body? Like, does it feel like, you know, when you're sad and you're crying and you're just like releasing?
Yeah.
That feels different than when you're like, it feels like you're a child, you know? You can also ask yourself, How old do I feel right now? Like, how old does this part of me feel?
Yeah.
Even though that's like leading the witness, because then that means there is a part. But you can just even ask yourself, like, how old do I feel right now? And if it's like, I feel like a fucking adult, I'm just upset. Some parts are harder to tell because there's protector parts that appear like adults.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That like manager parts that are like, I will manage this situation. But if you really feel into it, I think maybe the easiest way is to just feel like, am I in my whole body right now?
Yeah.
Or do I feel like I'm contracted and like, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even, I mean, as you were answering that, like it occurred to me that even the act of checking in is likely to reveal it just by itself, because an inner child part doesn't want you to take time to take a step back and check in. They want you to do whatever they're trying to get you to do.
Well, but you could still have that awareness of like, oh, I need to see if this is a trigger.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying you can't do it. Oh. I'm saying taking the time to step back would probably pretty quickly reveal whether there was an inner child.
Oh, yeah, like just,
yeah.
Bringing that adult self online.
Yeah.
So anyway, just wanted to have a little communicado discuss as we, you know, continue through this Mercury retrograde. I think it's through maybe the 24th or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we still have a ways to go with that. Okay. Thankfully, eclipse season is over. It revealed a lot, but I've had enough. all right. Oh, I do want to say one last thing just about this whole energy, that it does feel to me like cleaning, clutter clearing is really helpful right now, especially I just like was driven to do it today in a pretty big way, but it really does feel like it's part of the energy right now in terms of like clearing off whatever you need to release after all this eclipse stuff. And it's always a good idea during Mercury retrograde anyway. And before we get to Lisa, I would just like to say that I currently have capacity for one person to be in my mentorship awakening. So if you desire to work with me in a more, I don't know, dedicated way. I was going to say intense, but in terms of time, then you can go to my website and or you can email me. But you can find out all about it on my website under Awakening. And also you can join my Substack, which is free or paid, either option.
What do you get if you pay for it?
Oh, if you pay for it, you can get lots of free meditations from the past. Last week I wrote a PDF workbook for navigating the eclipse.
Yeah.
You get discounts on all my classes. There's a lot. There's a lot to it. And there's a lot to it if you're free. You get stuff every week.
Yep.
And finally, in terms of the old plug-a-roo, if you would rate and review our podcast, we'd be so grateful.
So grateful.
Thank you to everyone who already has. We're so appreciative. It really helps the algorithm
find us and get us in front of more people.
Exactly. And Spotify, too. You can just rate. Mm-hmm. We would be ever so grateful.
Ever so.
Okay. So we are about to interview Lisa Quigley. And she is at theglitchwitch.com. Lisa is a visionary writer, psychic channel, intergalactic witch, heretical mystic, and energy transmitter. Her multimodality approach to transformation and liberation is grounded in her lifelong study, both formal and informal, of mysticism, of myth and mysticism. She practices glitch witchery, and she's here to support all the other glitch witches across the globe who are ready to remember who they are and claim their glitches as their most intentional magnetic power. Her techniques are the result of personal gnosis grounded in her own personal and professional practices of tarot, Akashic records, Reiki, energy healing, past life regression, psychism, quantum hypnosis, astrology, human design, and witchcraft. And here we go. Lisa, hello. Thank you so much for being here.
Hooray.
Hi, Natasha and Brett. I'm so excited to be back.
I feel like we've been talking a lot on during the day, so it's like here we go, just further discussion.
No, it's just like I feel like this is just a continuation of
Yes.
our talks.
Well, I
But
feel included now, so
yeah.
he usually feels very excluded.
I'm like,
My
hey, what is
husband's
she
always like,
saying?
yeah, I know.
My husband's always like, who are you talking to? I'm like, Natasha. And he's like, Natasha again. What are you saying
Natasha
to her? Not in
again.
like a, but you know what I mean. He's like, here's me talking in the kitchen. He's like,
Yeah.
what? What?
Well, I talk all day long on Boxer anyway, so he never knows who I'm talking to.
That is true.
For my clients and stuff
Yeah.
mostly. But anywho, yeah, I wanted to have you on. I'm so excited about this because I've talked about it previously on the podcast. I talked about my experience with you. It was such an amazing session. I still think about it all the time. And I have taken my level one hypnosis. I'm like officially a hypnosis practitioner, but I haven't. You took a specific kind called quantum hypnosis. So I want you to, I mean, that's what you are doing. So yeah, I would love for you to tell people what it is first. Why don't we just start there?
People included me, including me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, including
You're
Brett.
people.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking all day, like, I was like, she's gonna ask me what it is. Like, how do I describe what this is? Because it's so weird. But so yeah, it's a style of hypnosis, and everybody kind of, I think, would know or have some idea of hypnosis as being some sort of induction of a trance state for some sort of psychological excavation or change
Oh,
work.
and
Yeah.
I'm actually going to even stop you there because I know from my training, like trance state, we might think it's like, oh, we're in a trance. Like, I don't know who I am, but it's not. It's just like, to me, the way
Altered.
I,
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, well, you can explain it.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I
Well,
got
I was just
excited.
going
I
to say,
didn't mean
my
to interrupt.
experience of it is that it's just like when you're meditating, it's not like you don't know where you are, you don't know who you are. It's not like that.
Like it's a brainwave state, right? Not a
Exactly.
consciousness state.
Yes. So like I'm also in another hypnosis training right now, which I just started on Saturday, which is going to be a more all like more general all kinds of types of hypnosis. But trance happens naturally anyways to all of us. The moment right before you go to sleep is a trance. The moment right before you wake, as you're waking up, like sort of that's a trance. We also go into light trance when we drive, when we're taking a shower. It's like alpha. So it does have to do with brainwave states. Most of the time, if you're doing like day-to-day tasks and you're thinking and you're doing things that are really active, you're going to be in beta. Going into a light trance is alpha, which is a lot of times what will happen in like a lighter meditation or when we do open focus, which I know you and
Yeah.
I have talked about a lot, which is like
Brett's reading it right now or listening to the
I've
whole
finished
book.
it. It's like I
It's
gotta find a way
so
to start doing some training. It's amazing.
I know I actually was looking at, because every time I read a book that I like, I'm like, I need to get trained. How do
Same, same.
I but yeah, that sort of thing, just putting your attention on space and spatial awareness will get you into like an alpha brainwave state. And then quantum hypnosis specifically takes you into a theta wave, which is going to be a little bit more like that place between sleeping and waking. It's going to be deeper trance, but trance in itself, like you're saying, is not like, oh, I'm good. You know, it's like it can just be these different. You can go into trance. Actually, most of us go into trance when we're scrolling on our phone because
Wow.
we're in that focus. You're focused. Think about like focusing the eyes, and you're kind of just, you look, you get time distortion because you're like, oh, I'm just going to check my phone for 5 minutes, and it's like 45 minutes later, and you're like, what happened? That was a light trance.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to not that I do this ever. No, I do it sometimes. But like that's why it's important to have boundaries, like check your like it's so helpful to have an intention even before you go online, or like check your aura, check your boundaries so that
like
you're...
I intend to lose 45 minutes.
Exactly.
Or set a timer or something that'll like shake you
wake
out.
You
I mean,
out
I
of
don't
it.
Do that, but
yeah. I mean, all of these are good ideas. Theory.
But that's why it can be, you can get almost more, be more programmable when you're scrolling
yes,
on your phone
exactly.
because you're just oh, scrolling.
That's
you're
terrifying.
In the, I know.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm saying that's why it's so important to like, and also it can
yeah.
take you into like, you can get triggered more easily because you're in that place. And like, you can like, in how I think of it, it's like your inner child, if you're in that kind of like state, it's like, you're more susceptible to like your inner child feeling those things. I don't know, like to get uh-huh. triggered and merge with that state. And then, yeah.
Like, 'cause you're in it in a more, I would think of it. We won't have to get into all the open focus thing, but I remember there's a part where he talks about, God, I'm like, I'm not even going to remember it exactly, but there's okay. like a way to be kind of conscious in it and a way to be unconscious in it. And when you're scrolling on your phone, you go into a trance, but it's a kind of like an unconscious trance. You don't really, you're not really in there to try to experience something, or you're not
right.
really aware of what's happening. So you're more susceptible to, yeah, like reacting or
exactly,
all
yeah.
that sort of thing.
That's
yeah.
what I was trying to yeah. say. Yeah, that's why the intention is really helpful. Just
yeah.
be like, okay, I intend to be on here for a certain amount of time, or I intend to feel good when I'm on here. And then you may notice better when that doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, going on. So
yeah.
quantum.
So hypnosis. Then quantum hypnosis is a specific style of hypnosis that just, I also consider it like a blend with energy healing or energy work.
Yeah.
I take people into like a deep, deep theta through an induction process. And the reason why it's called quantum, so again, I'm not a scientist or a quantum scientist or anything close to any of that. So I'm talking about this as a lay person who likes
yeah.
to read about these things. But if you think about what the quantum field is, it's the place where all potentials are happening at once. All realities are happening at once. There is no such thing really as time in quantum. And this isn't just like a magic thing. I won't be very good with the science of it, but quantum physicists discovered when they got really, really deep down, I think, what is it? The atom. The atom didn't exist. They realized the atom didn't exist until it was observed. And then it, because it was kind of anywhere. And then so it was appearing in these really random places. So at the quantum level, time is not working the same way as it is for us at this level, like in like waking reality, 3D reality. So quantum hypnosis, when we go down into that theta state, that's the state that we're able to, that's why like a dream is kind of happening in a quantum type field. And so it's kind of like inducing a waking dream, but that's it. So, okay. Then I'll rewind and say that this quantum hypnosis is specifically a regressive style of hypnosis, which I don't really like that word, but you're, 'cause it sounds like regression or something, but it's regressing you. I don't know. I don't like that word, but.
Well, no, it's like.
You mean like taking you back time-wise?
Well, the reason I don't like it is because I think maybe if from an old school level, it's thinking regressing you to a past life. But the way that I see it is it could be taking you to any timeline. It could be taking you to a past timeline, a future timeline, a parallel timeline. You can access any timeline from that state. And that's. So then what we do is we set an intention so that we can kind of set the parameters of what we'd like to experience. So maybe somebody does want to experience a past life. So we specifically request to see a past life and then they regress to that past life. But maybe the client wants to leave it more open-ended and they just are like, I keep having this recurring thing come up in this life. I would like to see the root of that, or I would like to see something that will help me understand that. And so when we go down into this state The reason we go down into theta is because it gets the conscious mind out of the way and it allows you to access any of those timelines where that might be coming from. Because from that state, you can kind of go wherever you want. And it's a lot like psychic work or, the kinds of ways that you get information comes through with impression. So it might be you might see, you might hear, you might feel, you might smell, you might sense, or just know.
I think it, do you think it does require a level of trust? Because when we did it, I did feel myself like going down, 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 and then I felt like everything was suddenly purple. And I almost feel like if I had, if I wasn't so familiar with seeing things psychically, I may have been like, this isn't really happening, you know? But it, but because I trusted that, I mean, so much unfolded and it, I was so, there was, a lot happening. But I wonder if you weren't trusting, I guess that's true with anything like that,
You mean of
but
yourself or of the
yeah,
practitioner?
of yourself, of trusting
Yes.
your own like sights and sounds that you're, or whatever, however you experience that. Because it isn't like the hypnosis where like you're on the stage and I'm, you're gonna forget everything, and when you wake up, you'll see that I made you put a banana in your nose, or you know what I mean?
Ouch.
It's not that. It's really like trusting yourself as well as you to, yeah, let those
To trust
unfold.
what's coming. I think that's a
Yes.
big thing because and like we're learning in your class right now too, the
Psychic
a spell,
development
yes,
class.
a spell
The
of
spell.
remembering this, yeah. We're not we have we all have access to all of this. We just aren't taught how to access it. And so there is this level of trust. So when I do a session with somebody, especially the first time, the first thing that I do is a consultation where I will talk to you about the process to we set an intention, but I'm also in that time kind of assessing your comfortability with being in those states, with what it, with how what's your kind of level of trust basically. And then sometimes I'll give homework, like here's some meditations to do every day up until
I
our
see.
session. Because it is like it reminds me of psychic work. It's just
Yeah,
access. It is the
totally.
same. To me, it's all the same. It's
It
just
is.
accessing
I
it in
agree.
different ways.
I was gonna say it, the way you were describing it makes it almost sound like you are helping the client to read their own energy. Like, 'cause what you were describing sounds like what you see, Natasha, or like, or what you see when you are reading somebody else's energy. That's
And
really
you too. You do
wild.
it too now.
When
Yeah,
one
and
is reading
you.
someone's energy.
That's actually what I really like about it. I mean, I like doing readings for people. I think that that has a place too, because, not everybody is developing that or practicing that. But what I like about it is that it makes the person be like their own oracle and their own seer. And then my job with that is to help you trust it. So if I'm noticing, because a lot of times you'll start getting impressions and I'll notice with somebody where they're like, I don't know, it's really weird. I'm like, let's just go with weird. And we can almost even, because like you said, like if you're not as used to it, it might feel like a dream. And so I could even say, go with that. Just pretend you're telling me a dream you're having. Like it's okay. It's okay if it doesn't make sense. It's okay if you don't understand it. And then the pieces kind of come together as the impressions come in.
Yes, and that is what it's like. It's like impressions unfolding. And like especially when you took me to a galactic lifetime, it was so unusual in the best way. But even I, with all this experience that I have, was still like, is this really what, you know, like happening? Like, and then it was just you're a really good guide because I feel like you didn't interrupt me. You let me have my experience, but then you came in and asked questions at the right times. And I wonder if that's hard for you to assess, like, ooh, when do I do that? Or do you just kind of feel into that?
Sometimes it's hard, but I try to just, as much as possible, what I'm trying to do is facilitate getting you to that state, asking the prompting, but not leading questions, because I don't want to
lead
you, but then let you go. And then I can kind of notice, like, sometimes it'll start to, like in your case, you'll be talking, and then it'll get quiet, and I'll wait a little bit, because sometimes you're quiet because more is coming in and you're trying to figure out how to interpret it.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like, I'm not sure. Or there'll be something and then it'll be like, okay, well, what's next? Or what's happening here? Or is there anything else? And then that usually triggers more information. I was going to say something. Oh, but I'm also, I have my like psychic and energy reading stuff open as I'm facilitating so that I can kind of, I'm kind of hearing little nudges here and there, like ask this next or. Sometimes I kind of start getting the same impressions. Like I was sort of seeing what you were seeing too.
I remember you said that. I love that. It was such a great experience because it was like, it really felt like I went to my home dimension. I mean, I think I did.
So
do you recommend, or like, when would you recommend people doing a session like this? And would it be different than another type of hypnosis? Like, let's say someone had a fear of public speaking. Would you be like, oh, this would be effective for that? Or is this better for like trauma stuff or something like that?
I guess it would just depend on what they were looking for. If they're like, I just need to have a solution, like someone to help me so that I can be ready to give this speech on Saturday. I don't know that I would say, well, you need a quantum hypnosis session for that. But I feel like if there's somebody who's like, every time I stand up to talk in front of people, I like my body starts shaking and I get all, and I just feel like no matter what it is, I don't know what it is, you know, what's going on. Yeah. And I feel like this has some sort of echo of something, but I can't put my finger on it. And I also feel like it's inhibiting how I'm living my life and like my confidence and pursuing my life path and the things I want to do. I feel like then I'd say, well, let's do a I don't know if there's a clear difference in that. Like,
well, if the speech is on Saturday, no, but otherwise, no. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're talking about like, are they approaching it from the standpoint of like, this is something that is bothering me and I can't figure out myself and I don't know where it's coming from, then that kind of exploration would be helpful, as opposed to like, I have a discrete real world task I need to accomplish. Should I use quantum hypnosis?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, probably help either way.
It probably would. Yeah. but I do feel like for me and the type of people I've worked with this, it does seem, and especially because you're invoking guides and you're invoking the higher self, and you don't have to believe any specific thing. You just have to be open to, in some way, invoking your higher self. And then whatever your cosmology is, however you perceive guides. So you have to have that sort of, at least open-mindedness.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it's really helpful for people who are like, not looking for a quick fix, because it's not going to be a quick fix, but it can help open up layers and pathways on your life journey. I feel if it's people who are like really focused on like, I want to grow as a human, I'm interested in evolving, I'm interested in developing myself, whether that's just as a human or even some sort of spiritual layer or whatever that looks like. But some sort of interest in that growth process, I feel like this would be appropriate for, but not like, I'm really stressed out and I want to stop being stressed out. Can you help me out with this? Which maybe it would open up something, you know, like you said, it'd probably be helpful regardless, but I do think there's a certain like intentionality there.
Yeah.
Is there a component to a session where you heal or address things that come, because I can just like, I was imagining the person approaching you to do the speech on Saturday, doing a session, like regressing to some past life where something terrible happened. And then like that whole can of worms is just now open for them and they have to go give the speech. Like, is there like, what is the process if they, like, if you do discover something, you know, that was upsetting or traumatic in a past life?
So that's why with any session that I do, except Natasha and I just do it on Voxer afterwards.
Well, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. She's
advanced.
Because we're friends.
Yeah. But also
You've also like done your, I trust you with this because you've been doing it like way longer than me. But
no, not hypnosis, but
no, but like this kind of work.
Yeah.
But so in all seriousness, what I offer with people with any hypnosis session, so the consultation is really like the first time when I'm just assessing, I'm doing all this. Then we have our hypnosis session, but then like a week or so after, there's I do a processing session, where I send you your recording and then you listening back to the recording. Cause I'll come back to the processing in a minute, but I think this is part of it. Mm-hmm. One thing that can happen, like you mentioned with the trust piece, is that you come back and you're like, did that really just happen? It kind of feels like a dream. Did I make that up? Where did that come from? Cause some wild stuff can come out of this. Mm-hmm. And it, especially if you're not as used to doing things like this or practicing or trying or experimenting in this way, like the stuff that comes up, you can really either think you made it up or like there's something, am I like losing it?
Or even if you don't, I think that it's like, apparently I've heard this, that if you go back and read your journals, it can help you integrate. Like even if you go back and read it from like a year ago, it helps you integrate what happened.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
So the first step in integration and processing is to re-listen to it. Like take a walk, listen to your session, hear what you said. That can help you. Like for my first session, I went to a past life in Egypt. It was so intense. My heart was beating the entire, it was like a really traumatic, actually like the end of that life.
Mm.
And I was like, but still, even though it was so vivid and so intense, when I came out of it, I was like, it was so wild. Like I was how could I possibly have experienced that? Like, how could that possibly, cause even with doing this kind of work and
it's still a lot wild of
weird
stuff, because
it's weird.
Yeah. Cause we're humans living in this physical body in this 3D reality. So even, that's why I was like, even still doing all this work, it's still like, but is that like, what is reality?
Yeah. So listening back to it is a good piece of just like integrating and processing it, journaling anything that comes up after you listen to it. Then we do a processing session where that's just a space for me to hold space with you while you're conscious. See, how are you feeling? How, because some people will be like, that was amazing. Oh my God. Like, or some people be like, I don't know what to do with this information. Mm. For example, mine was, I had gone back to, cause I had this fear of visibility and this fear of being seen. And I wanted to understand the root of that. And so that's what this past life was. But then my big thing was like, well, okay, now I see the root of why I'm afraid for people to see me. Cause I'm afraid of this kind of persecution or like something like this. And it was rooted at what happened in this past life. And my facilitator helped me do a somatic exercise to help me release that and then separate from that past life. And so that's what the integration and processing session is for, just to like
make sure
here's what came up. Here's like some, is there any energy work that we need to do to help you cut cords from this or unmerge or whatever. I also want to say that there's something interesting too, is that you don't actually have to believe any of it if you don't want to. You could also see it as like a metaphor that your subconscious is giving you to help you process something that's happening in this life. So it really doesn't even matter if it's true or if it really happened. It's like having a really symbolic dream that specifically addresses the issue that you're having in this life. And it's like almost like having a lucid dream that helps you surface it and process it. So it doesn't even really matter if it was true or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm freaking out a little bit right now because I not only was thinking that earlier when you were talking about the process of just like, when you were saying about that you need to be open-minded, like all you really need to believe or like is that your brain is giving you information that you want. But also I was thinking this exact same thing about like all of this, like nearly everything I've ever encountered in the New Age sphere, you don't have to believe it's like literally true or doing the thing that the way that it's being described, like it all can just be information and that, and it can still help you, like whether you believe.
Similar to a way that people or psychotherapists will work with dreams to help you work through things in your waking life. Are dreams memories? Are they alternate realities? Are they just like pictures that your subconscious puts together to try to figure out stuff? Like it doesn't really matter, because if it's helpful, and I have found for myself, this is a really powerful modality that has helped me process things and also understand things about myself. But it is like weird. So, cause I also did have a galactic session myself where it was like an off earth, like past life or a parallel life memory. And I had the same experience as Natasha where the past earth life was, I was like, it was like, I was just telling the story. It was coming out. I was seeing everything. Mm-hmm. And even though it was a time and place that I don't have experience with, I had earth references. Like I could, I could, you know, I had context to some degree, but when I dropped into the non-earth life, I was getting like bombarded with impressions and I didn't know how. I'm like, I'm getting so much and I have no idea what this is. I don't even know how to put words to this. I have no point of reference. And so a lot of times, you know, and you can, it's kind of fun. Like you can set the parameters, say, maybe you're curious, you want to see, do I have any earth past lives off earth or whatever. A lot of times what will happen in those kinds of sessions is a lot of like metaphors. So like I was like comparing it to cartoons I've seen. I'm like, you know, different like whatever my brain could kind of give me to try to translate what it was seeing and what impressions were coming through, because like I didn't have actual human words for what I was what was coming. So that was a weird experience.
I know
I'm left out now. You both have had galactic sessions. Yeah,
but I heard went there anyways, Brett.
That is true. We did get to visit, although I would say it felt more like viewing than visiting
than experiencing.
Yeah.
It's funny. I can tell that I've really just completely I don't know, normalized it for myself. Cause when you keep saying it's weird, I'm just like, oh yeah, I guess people think that's weird. I'm just like, well, yeah, it's just really, I mean, I really want everybody to be experiencing, if not this, things like this, because it can be part of our everyday reality. I mean, you can't like go to work in a regular job and then also be simultaneously in a galactic lifetime, maybe, but
maybe
you can do it on the, well, yeah, it would be hard on to your be lunch present. Break. You could do it on your lunch break, but you can, there's just so much benefit to experiencing that there's more than just this 3D reality, because it helps you to, just like when you travel in this, on this earth, and your mind opens up because you meet new people from other cultures and you know, taste new food, and like it opens you, it takes you out of yourself and your world that you've created, because we all can't help but we all end up in our little worlds, as you know.
Well, and
yeah,
oh,
go
sorry.
Ahead.
No. Well, even just to take it back to the idea of quantum mechanics, like everything is an illusion. Like we are all mostly empty space,
yes.
but we feel solid. And it's like, so like you can choose to say like, I only know what I see through my eyes and process with my like conscious brain, or you can open yourself to the fact that like what you see is one way of perceiving things. And there are other ways that can give you access to a lot more than just what you see or experience.
We were just talking today about how this message I've heard now 3 times today, this feels like the third time, of like people really just project onto everybody else their own experience. So like that is made up, like you're making up your whole experience all the time. It's just that for some reason we believe it because we can touch it and see it, and our mind really believes it. What were you going to say?
And that's, I was going to say, that's not even woo. It's literal science.
Yeah.
You know, not that there needs to be a hierarchy between them, but it's actually evidence-based science that we're actually all experiencing completely slightly different worlds based on our past, based on our whatever, how we interpret, how our brain interprets sense data that comes in. And so,
yeah.
Oh, there's also, this is something I'm just kind of starting to grasp, but like the reticular activating system, which is where sense information comes in through the brain, it only perceives what it knows how to perceive. So, a lot of times you might like see something might be there that your brain doesn't know how to interpret, so it won't even show it to you. So it's like our reality cannot fully be trusted anyways. because it's like,
yeah, I mean, we're really starting to sound like we just smoked a bunch of weed.
I know.
Conversation,
I don't think but so.
Well, I mean,
that's me, of course,
the uninitiated, I guess. But the like, I heard a fact once that just like, I can't stop thinking about it. The fact that like humans blink, I don't know, X number of times per minute. It's a lot, but you don't perceive shutting your eyes. Like your brain edits it all out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's wild.
Well, this is another reason why.
Now I'm seeing myself blink. I'm like,
I know, right? Like now I'm like, oh God, I don't want to be aware of it. Thank you, brain. I forgot what I was going to say about that. I know what I was going to say. That's why like even just standard hypnosis is so helpful, because like you're telling your brain, no, don't focus on this thing. This thing doesn't matter. You're really focused on that. Focus on this. Or like reprogramming meditations help, because it like gets in there to be like, no, let's rewrite this story. I mean, because it's all made up. And then when you do the like deeper, I don't know if it's deeper, but just I guess different quantum stuff, giving in a way, it's like giving your brain, well, one thing it's doing is giving your brain new information so that it's like, oh, think about it this way, but you're doing it also through your energetic body, and it's like a somatic experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really great. We can all just change how we're thinking. It's so, you know, I will say like something that as far as inner child work goes, like when you are merged with an inner child part that feels like it is in the past. I mean, it is. It's in the, like you're essentially looking at the world through a past lens, and it really can be hard to separate from that and be in another like more neutral state, or like more have a wider perspective. So the more that you ways that you can give yourself, because we're all, in my opinion, a lot of the time walking around just as inner children, just like we may look like adults, but most of us, especially I talked about this actually earlier in this episode, that someone therapist said that if you're arguing more than 5 minutes with someone, then your inner children are arguing. Like, that's just it, because it's your, or if you're, to me, it's more like if you're circling around something, or anyway. So just the more ways you can give yourself to come into the present, or come into coming out of those spells, because they're just spells, the better you're arming yourself with these tools.
Yeah.
And coming back to the theme of the podcast in general, it makes me really angry that woo stuff is so stigmatized, because it's you need more tools than just your brain to move out of these states. You just do. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm off my soapbox
now. Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree. I'm going to get on your soapbox for a second.
Okay. Let me give it to you. Here you go.
Okay. Thank you. because the reason one of many reasons that it makes me so upset that I spend a lot of time this way, and that people who, you know, believe in science, mutually exclusive idea to anything woo, is that, like, if you read, like you were saying this earlier, Lisa, if you read about quantum mechanics, it is bonkers. it makes no sense.
It is like more any woo way that than we have to relate.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, but because it's, you know, like, you can do experiments with woo stuff too, and you can see what works for you and what doesn't, instead of throwing it all out because it wasn't, you know, done in a lab or whatever.
And both of you come from religious trauma, like have religious trauma. And I'm so, the thing that makes me upset about that is that most religions, there's some like metaphysical aspect to it. And then once you are like, realize that it's toxic or even just outright abusive, a lot of times people will throw out, you know, the baby with the bathwater, understandably. Yep. But mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, that's sad.
I did a post on social media once that was like one of my more snarky ones, but it was like basically like, I don't believe anything. Or it was like, oh, you believe in that weird witchy stuff? I don't believe anything weird. I just believe that an old man, or that a man came from the sky, and like whatever. I went through the whole myth, and I was like, just normal stuff, nothing weird. My point wasn't that it's
weird.
Disparage it, but I'm like, there's like acceptable weird, and then there's like non-acceptable weird, and I'm like, how come your weird is like allowed it in everywhere, and my weird is like. Frowned upon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have to end it here, but thank you so much for being here. Loved this conversation, of course.
I love it too, and I feel like it just flew by. Always does.
It was me great too.
Did you have something else to say, Brett? You seemed like you did.
I mean, I feel like we could talk about this for a very long time, but no, nothing in particular.
We will put it in the show notes, but tell people, where can they find you and what are you available for?
Yeah. So my website is theglitchwitch.com, or you can go at the.glitch.witch because it wasn't available without the dots, on Instagram. And I have a range of, so I'm reorganizing my website right now, but, I have, you can book me for quantum hypnosis. You can
do readings, Akashic readings,
Akashic records, psychic readings, energy. I usually weave some form of energy, healing into the psychic readings also. So
yeah,
that's some, my Substack, which is where I write more about the stuff I'm thinking of. I do a monthly quantum creativity channeled message for each month.
Are you the Glitch Witch on Substack too?
On Substack, my Substack is Portals and Prisms.
It's a really good Substack.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. all of your stuff is really good. But... all right. Well, thank you again.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
That was great, as always, with Lisa Quigley.
That's right. All right. Well, we will end today with a carpool from someone who we were supposed to have on, but somebody was sick here and we couldn't do it. I can't remember when or why, but she will be on in May. So I thought I would read from her deck, Word Sisters, W-Y-R-D. And her name is Casey Zapala.
That's not weird.
Is it weird?
That's how I would have pronounced it. But
oh, okay. Maybe it's weird.
One of the two.
I picked Candle for Creativity. That's really interesting because Lisa's all about creativity. Okay. The muses are forever circling around you. It's up to you to create the right conditions for them to deliver their messages. Creativity is found in your paint box as well as in your relationships. It's time to shift a routine, invoke a new goddess, or strike out on a new path. Call in the type of creativity you are wishing to cultivate by lighting a gold candle and asking the flame to show you the clear and wild path forward. Meditate with the candle until you find some resolve. Move into action at once.
Did that card say Godix, G-O-D-D-I-X?
E-X-X.
E-X-X.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I heard that word, and I know, like, there was a long time in my life where I would have heard that word and my eyes would have rolled so hard.
Yes.
I would have hurt myself.
Yes. Oh, God.
And and I just, like, it's
painful wild. Cynicism.
Yeah, well, it's wild coming through the other side and just recognizing how much of my own privilege allowed for reactions like that. Because I didn't need God to not be male or to be, you know, like,
yes.
Anyway, that struck me.
Yeah. Yeah. So much cynicism is rooted in fear and privilege.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of it, I think, is in fear. Because if you are comfortable with yourself, then
you're not threatened.
Who cares? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can think things are silly or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, and usually to me, I feel like that's like around, like if somebody's being pretentious, then that's when my eyes will roll. Like,
yeah.
If I feel like it's rooted in pretension.
Right.
But right. I definitely have. I mean, when we were in comedy, that's part of why it took me so long to like be out in the open about this, because I was part of it too. Like, eye roll. Oh, you're precious or you're vulnerable. Okay.
You're not snarking your way through.
Yeah, exactly.
Vulnerable experiences.
But I do love that card. And I feel like it actually reminds me of when I was talking about giving it to the light, or like, intending to go higher. It's like lighting a candle and letting it go, like letting your mind go and just allowing the impulse or the information to come to you.
Yeah.
And going back to arguments, that's really hard to do when you're in an argument. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, everyone. We appreciate you so much. We're so glad you're here, and we will see you next time.
Bye.